How many of you all here have a GPS? How much do you use it? It's a pretty useful tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gets you places, helps you out.
Yeah.
Have you ever had it misguide you?
Yes.
Its purpose is to help you to get places that you need to go. Do we listen to it and follow it? You probably do. But again, it's not perfect. I've had it put me out in the middle of nowhere when I was looking for the King Ranch down in Texas. And wife told me, said, well, I think we ought to turn here. I said, what's the GPS? It says go straight ahead. I said, I'm going to follow that. Got down there exactly where it said I was supposed to be. And they wasn't up there, but pasture and fences, not even a building. So I had a phone number and I called them. They said, are you following GPS? I said, yeah. I said, it'll lead you wrong every time. So you probably have had the same type of deal down through the years. But they are handy.
Yeah.
Now the other day when I was going to Sister Rich's, it kept sending me around in circles, so I thought. And I told wife, I said, well, you know, I about was just thinking this just ain't right. And about the time I figured out it wasn't right, it was right. But have you ever been going down a street and all of a sudden it goes, make a U-turn, make a U-turn?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, why would a GPS tell you to make a U-turn? Because it felt like you was going the wrong way, right?
Yeah.
Now there's a spiritual GPS.
Yeah.
And that one is watching over you and is most interested in your spiritual well-being.
Amen.
And that's God.
Amen.
God. He wants the best for you and in the end wants you to make heaven.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be a very wise thing to listen to what he says?
Yes.
Yes.
And if he would say to you tonight to make a U-turn, would you do it?
No.
Have you thought about changing your ways? Have you thought about turning around and going the opposite way, the way you're going?
Yes.
Some people think, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can, because the blood of Jesus can help you do it. The power of the Holy Ghost can help you do it. The power and the grace of God can help you do it.
Yes.
He does it because people are going the wrong way.
Yes.
The wrong way. So what way are you going tonight? Make a U-turn.
Lord, help us.
Now you say, listen, preacher, I've read the Bible from cover to cover and I don't know of anything in there that said make a U-turn, follow me. Let's go to Job, the 33rd chapter. It's where I want to start tonight. I love this reading right here and used it down through the years. Starting about the 33rd chapter of Job, the 14th verse, I want to start reading. He said, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Then he opened the ears of men, sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life is hoard bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. There be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to shew upon, to show unto man his uprightness. Then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, and hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to answer, to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. But he said, to bring back his soul from the pit. The Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ is interested in souls making a U-turn.
Yeah.
They want you to turn around.
Yeah.
They want you to make an abrupt turn. They want you to do. And he said here, God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Listen, Jesus Christ works with souls sometimes many, many, many times, over and over, months, years. I know of a case where a man claimed to be saved. He was living, but he was out in Babylon. He was in a meeting with the saints, and the Lord sent the message. He heard the message, but it took him 19 years to come out of that. But he said the Lord followed him day after day, week after week. You need to make a U-turn. You need to get out of there. You need to come with the truth. And he wouldn't do it for a long time. So he said in a dream and a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumbers upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and he sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride for man. The Lord wants you to make a U-turn.
Yes.
Mild throat ain't what it used to be. He wants you to make a U-turn. He wants to take you. He wants to send his soul draw near to the grave, his life to the destroyer. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him. And he said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Listen tonight. We have a messenger here to tell you. We have a messenger here to help you to understand. There's a better way, praise God. There's a ransom. There's a powerful ransom that has been paid that he might take you and deliver you and bring you up and out and set your feet on the holy highway and bless you, lead you, guide you, direct you, give you peace and joy and sweet rest as you live life day after day and week after week. He is out there to help you all the way to heaven. But you got to make a U-turn. You've got to quit doing the things you're doing. There's got to be some repentance. There's got to be some changing. And he's saying here that he might hide, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. Listen, folks, tonight, there's a lot of people got the wrong purpose, doing the wrong things, going the wrong direction. And those are the things that the Lord has worked and worked to bind and to chain. But the Lord wants you to make a U-turn and come to him and get blessed in your soul. And redemption by the power of God. He works hard. He chastens man with pain upon his bed. And he allows them to come down, right down to almost nothing. So his life of hard bread is sold to me. Listen, folks, if that's not mercy, some people say this is not fair when it's a young person, or maybe even a middle age. It's not fair. We were talking, a cousin and her husband and myself a little while before Rebecca Ann died. And she looked at me and she said, Carl, Chuck was only 57 years old. Too young. People say that's too young. A minister that is being used of God and he's down to a point and looks like he's going to die and then he does die. And people say this is not fair. It's not right. But the bottom line is when people are in sin, God uses that over and over to try to wake people up and get their attention and help them to make a U-turn.
Yeah.
He wants them to change. He wants their lives for Him.
Yes.
Listen, folks, tonight it's time to get out of the sin business. Out of the hypocrite business. Are the whatever business you're in, backslidden, hypocritin, unsaved, wherever you're at, the Lord tonight wants you to make a change tonight. He wants to bring you up and out and put your feet on a solid rock and establish your going. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 2 Peter 2 and 5. I'm going to read three places in conjunction with this. 2 Peter 2 and 5. Talking about, he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now let's go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. I want to read here for just a moment. 6 and 3 of the good book of Genesis, through the eighth verse. Well, I'll always read that if I can get there. And the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man. For he that is also, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in, the daughters of men, unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. But God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and it repented him that I made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now then, one more place connected with this. Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter here. About the 26th verse, 17 and 26 of Luke. He said here that, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank, the married wives that were given in marriage in the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat and they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and is stuffed in the house, let him come down to take it away. And he that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. It said, remember Lot's wife. Now, at that point of time, was a very sad time for God.
Yes.
Here he was, had made man in his image, in holiness and righteousness. The devil come along, messed up the whole thing. He had to put him out of the garden. And in a few years, I don't know how long, I didn't try to run that out, but in a span of time, it got where their thoughts were on evil continually. Yes. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do. They were going the wrong way. He wanted to help them, but they didn't want no help. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
God took Noah, and he told him exactly what he wanted him to do. Want you to build a boat. He gave him all the dimension, told him everything they needed to do. It took him about 120 years to do it. What do you think Noah was doing all that time? Sitting on his leaves, not doing anything? No. I believe Noah was a preacher of righteousness, as the Bible said, and he was letting people know, listen, it's going to flood. It's going to wipe things out. It's going to be destroyed. Did they believe him? No. They did not believe him. He's telling those speak, make a U-turn. But those people had not made a U-turn. They wouldn't change. They kept on the same way. Listen, folks, today we're told there's going to be an end. Things are going to burn up and be all destroyed. And guess what? People are not believing us again. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The whole world was destroyed. What makes us think that if that was all destroyed, he won't do it a third time?
Right.
We've got to remember, God is God. Yeah. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of power. He's a God of authority. There's nothing he can't do, and he can't do it in a hurry if he wants to. He can take people's lives and wipe them out. I'm going to tell you, we had a children's book that we was reading to the children. We had them set up. And one in there was the deal, the picture of Noah taking the animals and going in the ark. And he said, and there's a picture of them all coming up, making a turn to the right, going up and going into the big boat. And there's a man right here, and you can see him. He's got the most shocked look on his face, and he's pointing. And I looked at that, and I thought, he is seeing that there might be a chance something's going to happen. He's seeing that he's waited too late. He's seeing, listen, folks, that boat was a place, and there was only so many people saved, plus the animals. Listen, the people then, they could have gotten on, but no, they didn't do it. Listen, folks, tonight, the Lord wants you on the ship of Zion. He wants to redeem and watch you. He wants you to make a U-turn and make a change and live a different life than what you've been living all these years. It was all destroyed. Now Noah warned them. I could just about see a preaching to them and tell them it's going to be destroyed. But it was hard for them to believe because there had never been a rain. Only the dew had watered the ground and the earth. Never been a rain. Never had a flood. Never had any of this thing. And so consequently, they're thinking, well, it can't happen. There has never been a judgment like it's going to be, but that don't mean it's not going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. The Lord said it. I believe it. I believe there's going to be a judgment. When? I don't know. But I know this. I want to be ready. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to go to places he wants me to go and preach what he wants me to preach. But the bottom line is tonight, there is going to be a judgment. Now then, what about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? They didn't have a preacher of righteousness there, did they? Now, I don't know if I ever thought of it quite this way until this afternoon I was studying. Lot was there, and he was living a good life. But it doesn't say that I can find, and I didn't really dig the depths of this, that he was going in and doing what Noah did. He was living the life. And God said, if you can find so many, or they bargained between the two of them, find so many, I'll spare the city. Well, couldn't find that, and he couldn't find that, and it got lower and lower and lower. God would have spared it, but everyone in there was wicked.
Oh, Lord.
And so consequently, God demolished or destroyed it all.
Oh, Lord.
But they didn't have. Now, if I'm wrong on this, you correct me. But they didn't have a Noah. They didn't have him in there preaching, and it was all destroyed and wiped out. Four towns or four area cities right there was wiped out and destroyed. Listen, folks, there, if you take the United States, there is very few. What I'm doubt, Lord have mercy on me and forgive me if you don't like what I'm fixing to say, but there are very few preachers of righteousness in the whole United States today. That'll tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And if you go worldwide, it's even that too. There is too much horrible sins that are going on. The homosexuality has got to a point today that it's rampant in this country. You can offend them so easy. Listen, folks, what about the saints? We can be offended too. You know, they say, well, don't offend us when they're doing things that offends us. And they say, well, you're doing things. Oh, you know, they're doing everything they can do to come back against people of righteousness. Now then, the Bible said, by precept, so to speak, make a U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to change. We have people that is willing to tell us the truth. We have people that give their lives. We have people that spend money and time traveling hundreds and thousands of miles to be able to put the gospel out and tell us the truth. And we've got something that the Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have.
Right.
We've got a Noah, so to speak, crying aloud. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be an end. Now then, Lord, help us to listen to what God is saying. In the end time, he is trying to tell us again, there's going to be an end. There's going to be something happen. And he's going to do it. Lord, help us to respond to that.
Yes.
Let's go to Acts 24. Acts the 24th chapter. And the 22nd verse. When Felix heard these sayings, having more perfect knowledge of what of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Priscilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, as he reasoned of temperance, and as he reasoned of the judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered and said, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. He hoped also that money should be given to him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, let Paul bound. Here is one of the saddest cases in the New Testament. Do you know what kind of man Felix was? Have you ever read and studied of what he was? He was a horrible man. He was a man that ruled, and he done it out of authority, and he done lots of damage to the people. He said there, he said he reasoned to righteousness and temperance and judgment. Now Paul, in dealing with him, was dealing with the three areas that Felix so much defrauded and crossed. In other words, he done things that was not right by far. He was not a righteous man. He didn't deal in righteous ways with the people. He done it in other ways. He would not attend a temperance. He was out and involved in adultery. And in the judgment to come, Paul was dealing with it there also. Listen, folks, tonight, we don't know. But Paul is trying to tell him, make a U-turn, and we don't know. But Felix never done it that we know of. Never made another chance. Listen, when God lays a golden opportunity at your feet, it's time to take it right then, praise God.
Yes.
Make a U-turn, he said. It's time to do that. We can put it off to our own destruction.
Yes.
The Lord is dealing with us in righteousness. He wants a righteous life. He wants righteous actions. He wants righteous in the way we do things.
Yes.
He wants temperance in every way that temperance needs to be. And he wants us to really believe that there's a judgment that's going to come. He trembled. He trembled. It must have had some effect on him, but he didn't do anything. There is people that have been under the sound of the gospel down through the years that's trembled and walked away.
Yes. Lord.
I've seen it happen. Know of it happening. There was a young man in Guthrie that the Lord sent a powerful service one night, and the man was trembling. He was shaking. He was crying, but he wasn't moved.
Mm-hmm.
He went out the back door of the old chapel in Guthrie. My brother went after him. My brother begged him to get saved, begged him to make a U-turn, so to speak, and he wouldn't do it. Somebody told me he was back for the next, and that was the last Sunday night of the Guthrie meeting, best I remember. And he was back for the next Wednesday night, and the Lord was still working with him. And they begged him, they talked to him. Listen, folks, when people are pleading with you to make a change, listen.
Lord, help us.
And he went out crying again. And in a short order, he was caught up in a whirlpool in a river and drowned. And as far as we know, he made no change. Young man in his 20s, maybe in his late teens. I'm going to tell you, it's a shock. It's a shock, but God was working. Listen, God will give us a last chance. He will give us a place to make a U-turn. But if we don't do it, folks, he has got the power then to condemn us to a devil's hell. Why? Because we turn the righteousness down. We turn the blood down. We turn the power down. We turn everything that can do for us what we need him to do. And we turn that down. And somebody said, he won't send you to hell. No, you send your own self to hell.
Right.
That's the bottom line. When we're lost because we turn down the very thing that can get us out of a troubled mess that we're in. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Stop doing what you're doing. I don't care what it is. Tonight there's a lot of people that's got themselves in a lot of things. But there's grace and power to help you to get out of that mess and make a U-turn.
Yes, amen.
Felix never made it that we know of. I'm going to tell you it's time to think about the righteousness. Think about temperance. I tell you, our world has not any temperance much left anymore. They're just rampant in drinking, rampant in drugs, rampant in adultery and fornication. Our world is full of lust and things that is driving this world down to the worst place, a devil's hell.
Yes.
Brother Sammons one time had a vision. And in that vision, he was going down, he would buy a road. And there's people going down this road by the numbers. He was on the road and he was standing aside and he was going like that. He was trying to get them to make a U-turn and turn around. And he said there was a great chasm that he saw down there. And he said these people were diving off into this chasm. And he said he could hear people screaming and screaming and screaming. And he said, I was doing everything. Turn around. And I don't know what they're saying. Make a U-turn. That's what he meant. Make a U-turn. It's time to turn and get out of the mess you're in. Get saved. Get redeemed. Get lost. Get sanctified. Everything you need, praise God.
Yes.
Do it. And do it now.
Yes.
Because that body of people that was going down that road was so caught up into that they had a hard time. They couldn't turn around. It can happen. Years ago, about 2001, in the state of Oklahoma, there was a big old barge, I believe it was, got out of control, or a big boat. And he went under a bridge that crossed I-40 east of Oklahoma City, and he hit the right piling and he knocked him out, and that bridge just come falling right down the river. It was just about daylight, if I remember right, and there was cars that was coming, and some of it fell right before them, and they just dived right into the water. There were several people killed, my best memory, about 15, and as trucks went in there and cars. And there was people that was back far enough to saw what was happening. And what were they doing? They were quickly stopping and getting out and doing everything they could do to get the people to make a U-turn or stop. Stop doing. Stop going. Don't go down there. You'll be lost.
Yes.
And they just went right on in the water, some of them. Oh, Lord, help us. Make a U-turn. Felix. And as he reasoned of righteousness, can you think about Paul? Think about evangelists burdening souls. We will lay and cry. We will pray and beg and fast God to have mercy on the lost and to redeem them and wash them. Make them a U-turn, bless God. Can you imagine Paul when he put his whole heart into this and the man said, get a convenient time, I'll call for you again. Listen, folks, They may never be a convenient time for anyone that's lost. You can have that chance. The message that the Lord gave me for my sister's memorial service was the last chance. God give her a perfect setup. She lived in sin all of her life. I think she got saved when she was quite young. I was the first of the family that the Lord dealt with, and I give myself and got saved. And I'm thinking maybe she got saved one time after that. About all of them were saved at one point, all the children, five of us. My brother and I still are. The girls are out doing their thing, and one of them's dead now. But the Lord took Kim, and she lived in Hawaii for a number of years, 8 years I think it was, and she come back to California. Then she made her way back to Enid in jobs and got to Enid, and her physical started giving her more and more trouble. Well, the congregation there, when they found out where she was at, they started reaching out. She come to me. I preached to her once or two times myself. And Brother Bob preached to her, and others preached to her. And I was there when she was in meeting. And wife and I, Paige, would go up, we would help her and work with her. It got down to Thursday night. And Brother Bob, it got to the place where that she had to move in with the pastor and his wife. Now, you can't get a better setup than this, folks. She moved in, and they were so good to her. Sister Leah had a burden for her on Thursday night, and she went in there and she talked to her and she dealt with her. Tried to get her to pray, tried to get her to repent. And Kim said, I need to do some praying first. So Sister Leah felt like she had pushed it far enough, so to speak, so she told her good night and she left the room. The next morning she checked on her, and Kim was laying in bed, looking like sound asleep. She went on and made breakfast. Kim didn't come join Brother Bob and Sister Leah for breakfast. Brother Bob said, maybe we ought to check on her again. So they went and checked on her, and Sister Leah went in there, and Kim wouldn't respond. He quickly texted me and told me what was going on. Say, I'm calling EMS to come right now. I texted him back. I said, that's fine. I'll start getting ready, and I'll be there as quick as I can. It's about 120 miles drive from where I was at to where she was at. And she never come out of it. She stayed in a coma from Friday morning till Tuesday night when we had all the plugs pulled, because the surgeons and the neurosurgeons and everything felt like that they had done everything they could do, and there was no help. So now then we place her in the hands of God, so to speak. And they did. She died about 11:30 Wednesday morning. The last chance. Sister Leah was trying to get her to make a U-turn. Yes. Paul here was trying to get Felix to make a U-turn.
Yeah.
How many brethren ministers that are here, our saints maybe has dealt with people and basically begged them, it's time to make a change. Yeah. You want them to get help. You beg them, you plead with them, you preach to them, you exhort them, you do everything you do, make a U-turn, and they just keep going right on. But folks, it's going to be a last chance that God deals with you, and He'll never deal with you again. He'll never do it. There was a man in Mississippi, I didn't know I was going to get in there, so you pray for me. There's a man in Mississippi my mama told me about, and God had dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him. And one night he said, this is your last chance. And he didn't get help. He stood there and rejected the Spirit of God. And when he did that, he went on and he lived a while. But Mama said he would get up and he would plead with people to get saved and tell them, I'm going to hell. I can't get no help because I turned God down the last time. And she said he died that. Make a U-turn. Saints, everybody in here, if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and I don't know your lives, God does. He's got Billy, give me this message. I'm going to beg you tonight. There is people that is caught up in things. Brother Michael Smith and I was talking, and I said, well, we on average don't have the sinners like in night service we used to have. He said, no, we don't sometimes. But he said, Brother Carl, said there's things going on that you and I don't know about. Said that's the reason he keeps giving the messages he keeps giving. I thought about what he said. I said, yes, sir, that's right. Sometimes you think, well, if I preached a message one night in a revival meeting in Enoch, Oklahoma, and it looked like everybody in there was saved. I thought, Lord, why do you want this tonight? I thought maybe he'd change it before I got in the pulpit, but he did not. And I got up and I delivered my soul. And the pastor told me, said, there's a reason you preach that. There's a reason why God does what he does. But the bottom line is, if we don't act to it and make a U-turn and do what we ought to do, it's in fruitful hands.
Oh, Lord.
Your destiny is going to be doomed. Let's go to Jonah. Remember Jonah? What did Jonah do? Felix didn't make a U-turn. I take this by the word of God and I bring it down. Who did and who didn't? And you remember the God give Noah the word, came into Noah the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It's the same statement there twice in the same scripture. And anyway, he got on the boat and you know what happened? They got into a storm and eventually they laid things out and they threw him overboard. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed unto the Lord God, his God, out of the fish's belly, the second chapter, verse 1, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep and the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward the holy temple, thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, to the earth where the bars was round about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomited him out on earth, on dry land. Listen, folks, today, Jonah went a long way down. He was at the bottom. The reeds were wrapped around his head. Now then, let me ask you another question. Do you not think it stunk inside that fish? Do you not think the pressure was on him? And he began to think and he began to consider. A lot of times the Lord allows people to get into real pressure tanks, so to speak, to get them to start thinking. If you're there, it's time to think. Make a U-turn. Jonah, he was there. He was in trouble. He knew he was in trouble. He knew that if God didn't do something, he would die. He would die within the belly of that fish, and he would be lost forever. But bless God, he got to thinking. He got to considering. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. Listen, salvation's of God tonight. He's still saving, still redeeming, and still working in 2019. He ain't off in somewhere, but he's still willing to redeem the lives of the people that is out there in sin, if they're willing to make a U-turn and say, God, have mercy on my soul.
Yes, amen.
Thank the Lord for all those that were Jonah, so to speak. And it said salvation. I'm going to tell you, he said, I will pay that that I have vowed. I'm going to tell you, if you made a vow to God tonight, there's people that's made a vow to God and not paid it. They've just gone on their way and done their thing. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't pay the vow that you made to God, you'll get caught someday. He's not going to just erase it out of his mind and say, well, I'll let that go and this and go. No. You're going to have to pay the vow. You're going to have to pay the vow. And he said, I will pay that I have vowed. I'm going to do it. And the Lord spake unto the fish. The Lord can speak peace. He can speak the power to redeem you. No matter how chained and how bound you are, how deep in sin you are, he can loose you and deliver you in every way. Listen, folks, if he can get Noah out of the belly of a fish, he can get you out of anything.
Yes, right.
Lord, help us tonight. Would you please consider and weigh, it's time to make a U-turn. Let's go to Luke, the 15th chapter. I love this reading. The prodigal son.
Amen.
A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And when he fain had filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him, and when he came to himself, oh, I love that. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, and I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to send him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth.
Yeah.
We're going to have a celebration here, folks. Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again, he was lost and found, and they began to be merry. Oh, tonight, he said here that a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto him. Now, tonight, every one of us in here have something good. Young people are wasting their talents in the depths of sin. They're wasting their substance. They're wasting what God gave them to be used to the glory of God and the good of souls. And they're wasting that, and they're going on down the devil's highway, so to speak. And the Lord said, make a U-turn. I need what you've got. The Lord needs what we've got tonight, folks.
Yeah.
We may not be able to sing like some people, or pray like some people, or preach like some people, or give tracts like some people, but the bottom line is, God wants to use every one of us in here.
Yes,
he may not make a preacher out of you. He may not send you to China or to Africa. He may not make a missionary or Sunday school teacher, but the bottom line, you've got something that God wants to use, and he wants to take you and develop you and bless you and use you and use you in power and authority and anointing and take you and bless souls with you, bless God. You've got substance that God wants and talents that he wants, and this man said, I want to go, and he wasted it.
Yes.
There's thousands of young people are wasting valuable substance and talents tonight. Out there in the depths of sin, living in the outdoors, don't have a house, don't have a car, don't really have any money. They're just wasting their lives. This young man started down the road and wasting his life. When he got all of everything spent and wasted his substance And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Lest you know, sometimes we think, well, my, I've got years. I've got money. I've got talent. I've got all that. I've got a great job. And the bottom falls out.
Yes.
Even the rich have the bottom jerked out from under them.
Sometimes.
They think they can get away with murder, so to speak, because of all the money they got. All this scandal on this school deal. Some of the people has got themselves into a real jam because they laid out money they should have laid out to try to do the things to get their children in school where they want them to be. And they got into trouble because the authorities caught them. Oh, tonight. Wasting. He wasted his substance with riotous living. Lord, have mercy. Are you wasting something tonight?
Oh, Lord.
What has God lost, folks? Think about it. What has God lost in people down through the years that could have been a real blessing to souls and they went the way of the devil?
Wow.
What has he lost? Oh, folks, tonight he has lost a lot. A lot. Everybody has got something that God can use.
Yes.
And might have several things that he can use. Some people can sing and they can pray and they can preach and they can teach. They might do it all. Some of us can barely preach. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Lord, help us, God. He wants your substance. He wants your talents. He wants your life. He says, make a U-turn.
Yes, amen.
Well, he went on down and he ended up in the hog pen. Let me tell you something, folks. That's the worst place a person can get to the depths of the hog pit. There was a man that I knew by the name of L.D. Christman. He owned a farm, about 200 acres. He had a business. He was in the dozer. And he had big implements, and he would do different things for people. And he done well. Had a big old house, and he's down on the river, and he had it just pretty well made. He had a hog pen with hogs in it. And he said one day, said he went down there close to the hog pen and he was praying. And he said he got up and he got to looking at them hogs that was wallowing in the muck and the mire. And said they looked horrible. And said about that time, God gave him a vision. And in that vision, he saw the pretty hams hanging in the lockers. He saw the different parts of the pig after it had been all cleaned up and all washed and all killed and all the things that goes with it. He said, I saw the beautiful hands and everything. And God let him know, listen, I can do something to get them out of the mess they're in.
Yes,
he was in the hog pen. You can't get much worse than the hog pen, but you know there's thousands, maybe millions of people's in the hog pen tonight. They, some of them don't even know where they're at. One person gave me a book one time to read. It was called The ABCs of Alcoholism. And I'm going to tell you, have my mother tell me some things. And I'd wonder, I thought, well, does she really know what she's talking about? Because her mom was saved and her dad was saved. I thought, I didn't ever tell her that. But I wondered, Mom, do you really know? I'm going to tell that book back, Mama, up to T. And I read that book and I read and I read and I read. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that it said in there. How the people were laying in a bed, how they had was living in their own. Well, I don't know the word to say, but anyway, they had done things and they were laying in it and wallowing in it and it stunk. And they were drinking and they were living this horrible life. Some of them would have what they call the DTs. And they would get in and they would have gotten away from this home, this place that helped to try to get them all back and on track and with Jesus and the life. And they would leave that and they would go and they'd get back to drinking again. And one man got into a telephone booth that I don't guess really exists anymore. And he was in there and he was calling and he said, help! He said, what's wrong? He said, I'm sending big bombs come at me. Help! Help! And he's screaming and he's crying. Help me! Think you're just making things up. No, I'm not neither. That happens to people drinking. What happens to them in drugs? What happens to them in the lies of adultery and fornication? Listen, this young man went to the depths of the bottom. They were in the depths of the bottom. They were in the bottom of the barrel. And these dear people were doing everything they could do to help them. And he said there when he came to himself. Have you come to yourself yet tonight? Have you really looked at yourself and said, this is me? We're going to have to admit this is me? You know, he looked it all over and I'm starving to death. My servants at home, my daddies are doing better than this. And I'm sitting there starving. He said, I'm going to rise and I'm going to go home. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish for hunger? I'm going to rise, I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose. I tell you, it's time to get up. It's time to get up and go. It's time to get a mindset toward Jesus. It's time to make a U-turn. It's time to do what you've never maybe done in your life. And that's serve God and live for him and have peace and joy and power and authority and have something you never had. He said he made a U-turn, bless his heart. He looked it over. This ain't worth it. Sin's not worth it tonight, folks. Drugs is not worth it. Alcohol's not worth it. Adultery's not worth it. Fornication's not worth it. Listen, folks, the things out there, the world ain't worth it. And then you end up in hell on top of all that. That's horrible.
That's true.
They do all these things when they can have peace and joy, and they waste it all in riotous living. He came to himself. He came to himself. Well, it's time to come to yourself. It's time to admit who you are, where you're at. It's time to say, I am a sinner. I'm lost, or I'm a hypocrite. Whatever be the situation tonight, I don't know your life, but the bottom end, it's time to admit where we're at and what we're doing and find something better, praise God.
Amen.
What did the man do when he found the treasure in the field? He went and sold all that he had to buy the field, didn't he?
Amen.
When he found the pearl of the pearl in the deal, he went and done all so he could have that pearl. Listen, the pearl of great price. It's here tonight. It's available for you and I. The riches in the field's available, but you're going to have to sell all to get it, praise God.
Yeah.
Have to give up, surrender, walk away from sin, repent, confess, forsake, do whatever, but you've got to admit where you're at tonight.
Yeah.
And the rich young man admitted, I don't have it anymore. I wasted it. Yeah. Oh, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. It's time to arise and go to my Father. And say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. I just need all the mess I'm in. I need something to eat. Folks, there's plenty to eat. Praise God. There's bread out there and steak in Father's house. There's mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans and corn. There's big old chocolate cakes. There's good things there at Father's house that'll help you, that'll fatten you, that'll bless you, that'll do things that nothing else will do. Praise God. The Lord said, I have meat that you know not of. The Lord's got meat for you tonight better than cattlemen, praise God. It will just come and get it. He arose and he went to his father. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. It's time to get up and go, folks. It's time to come to Jesus. All right, let's finish in Isaiah 55 and I'll be through. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Appreciate your prayers and time. Said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. Said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man is thought, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, the father back there with the prodigal son, when he saw the son coming, what did he do? Run the other way? No. He ran to him, didn't he?
Amen.
his son that was lost was found and alive and here he comes.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when you turn, he'll turn. Or he won't have to turn. He's just already looking. Yeah. And he'll just start moving right toward you. Praise God.
Yeah.
He'll say, here he comes. Here she comes. Bless God. Let's save him, Jesus. Let's deliver him. Here they come that was lost and now it's found. Amen. It's time to come to Jesus tonight. Yeah.